want to pick up on a couple of the points you mentioned. First, in terms of the intergroup trial and the issue of combining cetuximab and bevacizumab, what data do we have on that right now?
There was a small trial report out of Memorial Sloan Kettering that was called BOND-2 that looked at the combination of bevacizumab and cetuximab, or bevacizumab, cetuximab, and irinotecan in patients who had previously received oxaliplatin and irinotecan. And these were obviously patients who had fairly refractory disease. The notable observation was that both of these regimens had significant activity in this setting, and in fact the trend was towards there to be even greater activity with the irinotecan, bevacizumab, cetuximab combination. So this, I think, provided a good rationale for looking at the combination in the frontline setting to see whether you can actually see greater activity there. But I think that, you know, we have to be very cautious here in assuming that what we see in the refractory disease setting translates necessarily in the frontline setting. That has been the case for cytotoxic chemotherapy over the past few decades. But we also have to consider the possibility that when tumors develop resistance to, let's say, cytotoxic chemotherapy, they may develop resistance by being driven more by these growth factor receptors, so that when we do come in later with some of these agents, we may be seeing actually more activity than we would see frontline. This is not the case, or has not been demonstrated in colorectal cancer, but has been demonstrated in other tumors, and we have to be prepared for surprises like this.
Of course, there are always cost and reimbursement issues, particularly with some of the newer agents, but sort of putting those aside, let's say you have a patient who, you know, let's say money is no object, so to speak, do you think there's any role for considering that combination, cetuximab and bevacizumab, outside a protocol setting?
Cetuximab and bevacizumab alone without chemotherapy?
With chemotherapy.
Well, I think that if a patient came to me with very strong feelings that this is the route they wanted to travel, and that they were comfortable traveling this with very little clinical data to back this up, I would not say absolutely not to them. I think that they would have to understand that, you know, by adding more of these agents, we're also potentially adding more toxicity. By adding these agents up front, we may undermine their activity second or third line. But by combining all these in one regimen, we may end up having a more effective regimen. So if it was a patient, let's say, who had limited metastases to the liver that were considered unresectable because of their location or their size, and they wanted to get the best frontline response they could possibly get to see if they could be converted to be resectable surgically, then this might be a situation where it would be justified to use something like 5-FU, oxaliplatin, irinotecan together, and then potentially to add some of the biologics in with that. I would proceed with great caution, however, because, you know, there's very little experience doing this, and if the patient does run into toxicity, number one, we'd have to figure out which drug was causing the toxicity and make the appropriate dose modification. But number two, that toxicity might actually lead them to getting less therapy because they'd have to recover from that toxicity, and then we'd have to adjust or remove one of the drugs. So we have to think about all the possible scenarios here and make sure that the patient went into this with their eyes opened.